Why don't we begin tonight with prayer? Father, I just ask now as we turn to your word, I pray that you would give me something to say. I pray, Father, that you yourself would speak to your people tonight, and Father, that this would not be a wasted evening. Some of these people have driven a long ways even to be here tonight, and I pray that they would be blessed for being here. And help me even to do something tonight through the Holy Spirit to make this church what it should be. Amen. Psalm 27. I'm going to ask that all the Calvinists in the room would please move up to the front seat. I'm not preaching against Calvinism tonight, but if you were a Calvinist tonight and you were honest, you would go home an Arminian. Psalm 27 and verse 4 says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I want to talk tonight about the beauty of the Lord. What is beauty? I could call Nikki up here, but she stayed home tonight. Beauty, some people say that beauty is subjective. I do not believe that. I don't believe it. I'm sorry. I'm going to be obnoxious tonight. I'm going to disagree with people just for the fun of it. I don't believe beauty is subjective. It is very objective. If you have a beauty contest, which people do all the time, and many girls run for being the queen or whatever, and one is chosen, that may be subjective. Of all the girls who ran, they're all beautiful. Different people liked one a little bit better than the other. One, however, did rise to the top always in a contest. One always rises to the top as the one with the most votes for them. Even that makes it somewhat objective, but not totally. I guess a good fair test would be to see if beauty was objective or subjective would be to have a bunch of girls run for queen in front of one panel of judges and then have them the next day in front of another panel and the next day in front of another panel and see if it's the same person every time. It might be, it might not be, depending on how close the girls were that were running. However, as a rule, I don't go out to God's creation and pick a flower and hold it up to a crowd of people and say, "This is beautiful." And the crowd says, "That's your opinion." No, it is beautiful, okay? It's not just my opinion. It is beautiful. Everybody agrees that flower is beautiful, okay? If half of the crowd disagreed with me, I would feel like I had lost my moorings with Earth. Beauty may have subjective elements about it. And if any of you don't know what I mean by subjective, I mean subject to personal opinion. So, here it says, David says, he wants to go seek after God and dwell in his house all the days of his life to behold the beauty of the Lord. Now, this is not David's opinion, okay? David wrote this, but by inspiration of the Spirit of God, it is part of the Bible. Okay? This is God's opinion of himself. God says, he right here in his book, he is beautiful. If God says he is beautiful, it is not a subjective. The very fact for God to even be able to use the word beauty proves that beauty is not a subjective element. It's objective. Now, the fact of the matter is that might scare some of you girls, because you might say, well, then, if I'm not beautiful, and beauty is really objective, that means I have to marry a dumbhead who cannot discern the truth. And that is partially true. When have you ever seen an ugly girl marry a decent guy? Come on, raise your hand if you have. Okay, now the fact of the matter is, tonight there shouldn't be any ugly girls. God didn't create ugly girls. Ugly girls are a corruption of God's creation. I was complaining at Nikki about something the other day, that some kind of face cream or something, and I was telling her that I wanted it. And I said had been wanting to try to use something like that because my face was so ugly. And she said, it wouldn't help you from inside. That's your attitude. Well, the fact of the matter is, if any of you guys in this room tonight are ugly, there's a reason for it. It's because you haven't walked with God. It's the truth. We're going to see that before we get done. But if God says that he is beautiful, what if we go ask the general population of the world and they tell you he is not? Now, I tell you the honest truth now. If you were to go, and we're not talking about God's physical looks right now. We're talking about God as a being. If you were to go ask the bulk of the world today, is God beautiful or not? The bulk of the world tonight will tell you not. Now, God fell on the panel of judges. That's why I believe beauty is not subjective, it's objective. It is the truth that God is beautiful. However, there are many, 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 many eyes that have been blinded by Satan who cannot see God. Now, it's the Christian's job to show God to those people.
in a human form that they can look at. And the fact of the matter is, if you ask most of the world if Christians are beautiful, they will also say not. Why? Okay, now, see, the fact of the matter is, people can't see God. The devil has blinded their eyes, but people can see us. The fact of the matter is, sometimes we really aren't beautiful. We act sometimes closer to the devil than we do to God. Christians do. I'm going to read Psalm 96. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among the people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. We have a phrase here that occurs numerous times in the Psalms and a couple times out of the Psalms. The beauty of holiness. Now, David said he wants to behold the beauty of the Lord. This tells us something about what the beauty of the Lord consists of. And it is his holiness. What is holiness? I'll tell you the honest truth. When I was growing up, I thought God was love. I thought God loved people, and he was also holy. And his love was sweet, and his holiness stank. That's what I thought. I thought everybody believed that. I thought even the saved people believed that. His holiness was something we had to deal with if we wanted to have his love. It was something hard and difficult. It was something ugly and ferocious, something that was not pleasant. It was something we did not want to do. Holiness was not a pleasant part of life. It was a very hard and yucky thing. But it was necessary. Now I think, to tell the honest truth, that most of the world, including the church, looks at God that way. You know, we want to be saved because we don't want to go to hell. We're trying to escape hell. We don't want to be saved because God is beautiful. We want to be saved because the other option is bad. But this option is bad enough in and of itself, because if we get saved, we have to live holy lives. And it stinks, and it makes us stink in the eyes of the world, because the world hates God, and they're going to hate us if we're holy. Now, the fact of the matter is, don't doubt it. The Bible actually says that. Because the world does hate God, they will hate you if you are holy. It's funny, I don't know I tell you the honest truth, I can't reconcile the fact that Christ says the world hated him when they followed him around everywhere he went. I don't know how to put those two things together. Even the Pharisees, who were constantly doing everything they could against him, it was like they were following him around everywhere he went to see what he was going to do next. They were inviting him over to their house for dinner. And then they'd pick him apart when they had him there. I don't know why they wanted to spend so much time with him when they hated him so bad. Well, anyway, I just want to believe the Bible tonight. I just want to believe it. And God says right here that holiness is beautiful. That's what he says. It's beautiful. It's not an ugly thing. It's not something that gives you a long face. It's not something that makes you sad when you get up in the morning because of the way you have to live. It's not something that your neighbors look at you and say you're ugly. It's actually a very desirable thing. When you find a person with true holiness, and true holiness is, I'm not going to try to define holiness tonight. I do not know that I could. I think it would probably be a different definition if I did define it correctly than a lot of Christians think when they think holiness. True holiness is something that is pretty. It is something that graces you when you have it. It is something that makes you pretty. You don't believe that? Listen to this verse, in Psalm 149. Psalm 149, verse 4 says, "For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, he will beautify the meek with salvation." What's God going to do to the meek? He's going to save them. He tells us that numbers of times again and again and again throughout the Bible. The meek shall inherit the earth. The meek this, the meek that. God is going to accept the meek as his own. What's he going to do with them? What does God do to a person when he saves them? He washes away their sins and he makes them holy. That's salvation. And he says he will beautify the meek with salvation. He'll make them pretty again. See, God, when God created man, he made man beautiful. Everything God made, he made beautiful. God didn't create an ugly thing. Everything God made, he made beautiful. And man destroyed his beauty with his sin. And God will give it back to you when he saves you by making you holy again. That's what he says. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Now, if holiness is beautiful, how come some Christians are ugly? Well, I suppose the logical thing to say would be because they haven't learned to be holy. But you know, it's weird because some people, it's the particular things in their life that they think they're holy about that makes them ugly. I am this good. I am here on a level. I am this. I am that. And you walk around scowling out your holiness and scaring the world away. And is it holiness? You know, I don't know, I do not know what to say. Sometimes Christians just irritate me. I can't go, there's a story that I keep wanting to tell, but I don't want to tell it. It's too disgusting. It's not about me. I would tell it if it were about me, but it's just too, I'm looking for something to describe what I mean. There's a lot of people who profess God, and somehow they think that serving God is a difficult path in life. And it's a path that leads you into ridicule and reproach. Not for actually being better than your neighbor, but for having a bad attitude. It's like, now see, the fact of the matter is, when the world hates you, the reason the world hates you is because you are good. That's the reason the world hates Christians. It's the right reason the world hates Christians. It's because you're good. Because God actually made you good. And when they look at your life and see you good and them bad and you convict them, it makes them mad. But actually, a lot of Christians are hated for the exact opposite reason. Because they stink. Because they live on the same plane that the world lives on, but they go around with an attitude about being something better. The world can hardly walk by them without plugging their nose. I think God plugs his nose too. I don't think God approves of those kind of Christians at all. We are supposed to show to the world that the true God. And the fact of the matter is, when you are righteous, when you are truly righteous in the way that God is righteous, you become a good man. You become a good woman. It puts a kindness about you. It makes you generous. It takes away your bad temper. It frees you. It makes you happy. It puts a smile on your face. It gets rid of your grumps, and it leaves you as something that is desirable, something sweet, good-natured. That is holiness. That is the only true kind of holiness. It isn't. It doesn't put lion teeth in your jaw and tiger claws in your hand and you jump on your friends because they do something twice, they do sins. Say that you jump on to this person, say, because he sins twice as much as you, maybe. Let's put it that way. And you scowl at him and rip him up and tell him how God hates him because of that. And of course, Christians would never say something like that. It's their attitude. That's what their attitude portrays. And so he ends up looking at you as a hypocrite, which is what you are. I'm not talking to anybody here personally tonight. I'm talking about Christians sometimes. I could name some names tonight. People that aren't here, not people that are in this church, but I know some Christians who are that way. They will condemn you for having a vehicle that has two colors, and you get into their home, and it's a disaster of unhappiness and misery, where the children can hardly bear to be with the parents. The beauty of holiness in some Christians' lives. There is a verse that I love in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We, as Christians, are the children of God. And we should be like Him. If God is beautiful, we should be beautiful.
Amen.
It says in verse 18, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." As we behold the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. How can you be changed into something beautiful if you think God is ugly? If you look up into the face of God and say, for example, "He loved us and He condemned the rest of the world." If you look into the face of God and you see this selfish teenager that goes about in heaven ruling the world for His pleasure, that's what the Bible says. That is what the Bible says. That He rules the world for His pleasure. That's the truth. He does. But you say, God rules this world for His pleasure, and He did this, and He did this, and He did this, and He did this, and you attribute all the works of the devil to God Almighty. And then you come and you say, "He's not beautiful. He's very ugly, actually. He's not holy. He's not a righteous God. He's a miserable, wretched, something or other. But He's not beautiful." Did you hear what I said at the beginning? God's beauty is not subjective. It's objective. Hear what the Calvinists say? You can't preach Calvinism to the ungodly. You preach the gospel to them. Not till after they get converted do you teach them Calvinism. You know why? Because there isn't a sinner on the face of the earth that would ever get converted under Calvinism. That's why. It's ugly. That's not God. Say, who is God beautiful to? Just Himself? God's holiness is not ugly. It's beautiful. God's holiness is the kind of thing that you will find Him taking care of the widow. It is the kind of thing where He actually, you know what? God tells us to love our neighbor as ourself. He tells us to esteem others better than ourselves. Did you know that everything God ever says to us, He does? Do you know that when you hurt God, when you slapped Him in the face and sinned against Him, you know what He did to you for it? Took care of you and helped you out of your mess. God calls that holiness. You say, no, that's love. God calls that holiness. God tells us to do all those things to be right. That's what God does. If you will take a look at holiness as it is actually in God, you will find something very beautiful. You'll find something irresistibly beautiful that no man on the face of the earth will look at and say it is not. If I were to describe God, if I could actually portray God to man as he actually is, every person that listened to me tell my tale would have to say, if that is the way God is, then he is beautiful. Now, the fact of the matter is, most of them would probably be sitting there disagreeing with me. No, God isn't that way. He does this and he does that and he does this and he does that, they would be saying. He's not beautiful. Attributing the works of the devil to God. We have to be very careful to distinguish between the works of the devil and the works of God on this earth. The devil is a father. The Bible calls him that. Any person who wants to make God responsible for everything that you see happening around you is a fool. The devil is responsible for most of what you see happening around you. That's what the Bible says. The devil is the father of sin. There was no sin. No one had ever sinned until the devil sinned. The devil authored sin. And the devil is the father of every sinner, the Bible says. And then man looks around at all the pain and suffering, and he looks up to heaven and he says, God, why did you do this? God didn't do that. That's the works of the devil. God uses it oftentimes. And sometimes in the Bible, you will read something as though God says he did such and such a thing. And it's kind of hard for me to explain exactly what I believe, but God didn't do such and such a thing. You know, God used such and such a thing. And we don't catch that connection sometimes because you know why? Because we didn't think God was pretty. We thought he was ugly. God does a lot with, God works a lot with the sin on this earth to accomplish purposes. But he never authored any of it. And if you're an honest person, God says that he hates sin. And the Bible says that he does run this earth for his pleasure. That means he has nothing to do with authoring sin. Otherwise, he's two-faced. And no two-faced person is ever pretty. You can't be two-faced and be pretty. You're a hypocrite. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. I may behold the beauty of the Lord. If you want to get just a faint glimmer of an idea of how beautiful God is, if you would look very closely at the creation, God's creation, everything that he made is gorgeous. Except me. Because I'm tainted by sin. That gives you a little bit of a picture of God. The work of his hands gives you a little bit of a picture of him. And if we Christians would get rid of this foolish idea that being holy is difficult, or it's less than desirable, or it in some way is going to make us ugly, we could start enjoying some of the beauty of God on our own faces. The Bible teaches over and over and over and over again, from the beginning to the end, principles, how being right lead you to a higher place in life. Holiness is not ugly. Holiness is made up of all the virtues that every man on the face of the earth approves of. That's what Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3 or something, about the fact we shouldn't be suffering for wrongdoing. He says if you suffer for well-doing, that's fine, but don't be a sufferer for wrongdoing. As he says, if you do that which is well, who is there that's going to make you suffer for it? The world approves righteousness. If the world doesn't approve you, they either don't approve you because they're convicted by your beauty, or otherwise they don't approve you because you don't have any. One of those reasons you're right, one of them you're wrong. If the world looks at you and thinks you're ugly, you need to learn what true holiness is. I have to stop there. There's the first step. The very first step that you have to take is an understanding of God. As long as we are looking at God on a lower plane than where He is, we can't go anywhere. Until we have seen His glory, we can't be changed into that same image. We need to see Him first. And He says He's beautiful. And He says holiness is beautiful. We need that strength in our lives if we are going to ever be a testimony for God on this earth. So let's dismiss.